Let's bow and pray, may we? Father, we, your people, have expressed our love to you in song, spiritual songs, in choruses. And it is a way that we have let our ears hear what our mouth is saying, that our heart believes, how we praise you and bless you. And we have claimed the promise that you will inhabit, especially in a unique way, the people who praise you. And so we are taking you at the word of God that you have inhabited your people in a special way. We, your temples, have been filled with your Holy Spirit, the Spirit that can now teach us from your word what the Spirit would be saying to the churches today and to our church and to our individual part of the church. So I pray, God, that on this special day, you would give a special word to each person so that when we leave in just a few minutes, we can say it's been more than good to be in the house of God. Because not only have I felt his presence, I've been touched by God, I have been affected by God for my course of events that will come into my life this week. And as the church year tells me, this is the Holy Week. It will indeed be a holy week between Palm Sunday and the Resurrection Sunday, when we ourselves would be affected spiritually, impacted as never before. In Jesus' name, amen. Greg, would you pass these out to several of our visitors today? And we do conclude this day our series of sermons on dreaming on the road to Calvary during Lent. And it's been a good time. It's been a good time for us to let God speak to us through the Word. Because you see, the Bible takes dreams seriously. I take dreams seriously. And in this series of messages, I've had God speak to me in dreams, and maybe you have too. How many of you know that you did dream last night? Lift your hand. You don't know that you did, but you know that you did, because I've told you that you do dream an eighth of your life. Because while we dream, the body just responds to that. It sort of, our mind sorts out the events of the day, and that way we become healthy people. So we do dream, do we always don't remember the dreams. But the Bible does tell us of some people who have indeed had dreams that have been from God. And I do believe that God does speak to us even today in dreams. Now, you may not believe that, but I do. A lot of people don't believe that, but I do, because I know for a fact personally that God does speak to us today in dreams. Now, on this time, as we conclude the study, we're going to go to the New Testament, and we're going to look at the dreams that have been dreamed there. And now that you're seated, Greg, would you get up and pass these out too? While we exercise. Sure, Steve, you can pass them out for us. Everybody gets one, yes. We're talking today about three don'ts make it right. Three don'ts make it right. And you have my outline before you. So actually, we just could get up and leave now. Because you know everything I'm going to say, except what I say between the lines. And the things that I say between the lines, I hope, are divinely inspired by God. Three don'ts make it right. Now, we have seen in the past, while we've made these intense studies in God's Word, that people have been spoken to by God by dreams. And the reason I want you to read with me in a review is that you may be in positions today where you need some of the encouragement or some of the dependency or what have you. So if you will, Abimelech got a dream from God. And what was the dream that Abimelech got? What does it say? Read with me. Warning. Okay. Jacob had two dreams. The first dream gave him what? Comfort. The second dream gave him what? Direction. Laban had a dream, and that dream told him to do what? And Joseph had two dreams. The first dream had to do with what? And the second dream? Okay. The butler and the baker had dreams. Sounds like a clue game. The butler had a dream, and it gave him what? And the baker had a dream. Oh, that's not so good. Pharaoh had two dreams, and they both had to do with what? Okay, the Midianite had a dream, and for Gideon, it was what? And King Solomon had a dream, and in it, what came about? And Nebuchadnezzar had two dreams, and they had to do with? And Daniel had a dream and had to do with? Okay. Now today we're going to turn to the New Testament, and we're going to look where it says in the New Testament that people did have dreams. Now there is a difference between a vision and a dream. There were other people in the New Testament that had visions, but I did not classify them as dreams because there are two different words used here. These people that we're going to look at today would be Joseph, the wise men, and chronologically Joseph again. And then if you're following on the sheet, in the third column farther down, Joseph had a third dream, and Joseph had a fourth dream. And then Pilate's wife had a dream. So let's go to Joseph's first dream. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to follow with me, you may. Matthew chapter 1. And we'll just read the whole context here, beginning with verse 18. Sure. Greg, get a Bible for it. Okay, fine. Now, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. Now, we all know this story because we read it every year and sometimes in between. So we know the story. It's Matthew chapter 1. And here, maybe you forgot or did not actually remember that there was a dream involved. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But, verse 20, after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will be with child, will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. The angel said to Joseph, don't be afraid. Now when we read the stories we did in verse 18, he was pledged to be married to Joseph. King James says he was espoused, which means it was the legal part of the contract. You can read that on the notes. And in verse 19, where it says he was going to put her away, he would take the course permitted by the law. The law said you could do that. So actually, when you got pledged to get married, that was a very legal thing. It's like engagement in our situation today. But it's more than an engagement, because engagements are not legal. But in this case, when he was pledged, it became legal. And the only way to get rid of her would be by giving her a bill of divorcement. And he was thinking about this, the scripture says, because he had every right to do it. He thought on it, verse 20. But then he got the dream. Now, the Jews attached great importance to dreams. And when in the scripture it says here, calling him the son of David, I think this is important because I think it prepared him for the announcement. But what the angel said to him in a dream was, what? Three words. It starts with the word don't. Don't be afraid. Have any of you ever been afraid? Yes. Has anybody been afraid? I have been afraid many, many times. In fact, I was going to tell you the last time, but I forgot when it was. But it was last week. I said I was afraid. I was afraid. You know, anybody can be afraid. And there are all kind of things that make us afraid. And you just can think the list through your mind right now of where you can be afraid about the job, about your health, about circumstances, about finances, about all the things that can make you afraid.
afraid of decisions that you have to make, afraid of appointments that you have. There can be a lot of things that we are bombarded with that make us afraid. And so this guy was afraid. And God knew he was afraid. And so God, while this man, Joseph, was sleeping, spoke to his heart and said, don't be afraid. And people, God is saying that to you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And if, in fact, he does what God has said, then God's going to give him a blessing. And if you don't, then it makes it a right. So God spoke to him on his emotions, and Joseph obeyed, and that's very good. And the awakening thought from the dream is, of course, don't be afraid. In other words, to be encouraged, because there are so many things that could make him afraid. This was zeroing on one. And so the things that make me afraid today, the things that make you afraid today, we can put over that makes you afraid, put truth over it. And the truth is, God says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And from the lips of Jesus, Matthew 14:27. Matthew 14:27, as we have done in all of these dreams, we have found that from the lips of Jesus, there are words that support, give confirmation to the dream's awakening thought. And Matthew 14:27. Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. And there's that phrase again, say it out loud. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I tell my grandkids, don't be afraid. They're talking about going to school and there's a big bully there. Don't be afraid. In counseling, we tell couples, don't be afraid of what this is going to happen to you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And Jesus said it from his own lips. He said, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. 80 times in the Bible it says, don't be afraid. And in the Old Testament, Genesis 26:24, it says to don't be afraid. So that's the bottom line. Don't be afraid. Of all the things that make us afraid, say it. Don't be afraid. You didn't say it very loud or with great meaning. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Listen, Satan is going to... he's going to nail you with this, but don't be afraid. That was the awakening thought from Joseph's first of four dreams. So you don't need a dream. I just told you, that's what God says, don't be afraid. Second is the wise men. Matthew 2, again, the story that we read every year. But do we remember that in this story, we have a dream taking place? Matthew 2, and we're going to look at, we'll start with verse 7 for the whole context. Herod called the Magi secretly, and he found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I may too go and worship him. Well, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures. They presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And then verse 12, and having been warned in a what? A dream, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. You see, God spoke to them in a dream, and he gave them some advice. He gave them direction, and the direction was just don't go back the way you came.
I'm sorry, no, I had to leave. When I came back to work after.
No problem. God bless you as you have come and as you have gone. Praise God. Come back, Steve, with God's blessings. So what the word following the word don't is, don't go back to Herod. This was advice. Now, would you note in verse 11 that they went to the house? It was not a stable like in Bethlehem. Nazareth, where he had lived since being presented to the Lord 41 days after his birth, was the place now. It wasn't Bethlehem, and of course, many of you during the Christmas season divided the shepherd from the wise men, knowing that the wise men came later and they went into a house, not a stable. In verse 12, we find here that the execution of Herod's deep-laid plans was delayed. He was prevented from knowing which exact child it was, and it all came about because of a dream. God spoke to him in the dream. So the awakening thought was, don't go back. Don't go back. And from the lips of Jesus, I chose John 15, verse 14. John 15, 14. And Jesus just says to his disciples, you are my friends. Well, you know, that's really neat. You are my friends if you do what I command you. You are my friends if you do what I command. Now, the wise men were commanded not to go back the same way, and they followed the advice. In Psalm 32, verse 8, the scripture says, I will instruct you, and I will teach you in the way you should go. And this is exactly what happened to the wise men. By God through the dream, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. And they got this direction, and they did it. They heeded the direction. They obeyed the advice, in other words. Praise God, the wise men did what they have as their name, wise men. Not only do wise men still seek him, but we who are wise men want to be instructed and taught in the way we should go. Now, Joseph gets another dream, Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. And in this dream, when they had gone, talking about the wise men now, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Now, we know that the angels of the Lord have appeared to people in the natural, but here it was in a dream. And what did the angel say to Joseph? Get up. Get up. Now, this is at nighttime when he's dreaming. Get up. Get up. Take the child, take the mother, and escape to Egypt. And stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Well, did he do this? Verse 14, you better believe it. He got up. He took the child and his mother, and the next three words, during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod, and so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. People, I like the wording in verse 14, because God has appeared to him and told him to do something. And God has told all of us to do some things. You know exactly what God has told you to do in the past, what he may have been telling you to do right now. But the interesting thing is here, he got up. Now, he got up, he just didn't say, oh, I've got to put the snooze back on the alarm and get through the night. You know, I've had a rough day. No, when God said get up, he got up. And it says here, during the night, during the night. He didn't wait for breakfast. During the night, he left for Egypt. People, he was obedient to what the angel of the Lord had said, which was get up. God was on, get up. God is saying, on the location of where you are, I want you to leave. And so he left. And if you're following the outline, you can tell me how many miles he had to travel? 75 miles. So we're talking a distance from where we are, maybe up to past in Prunedale, up in that area, 75 miles. Maybe to Morgan Hill. But it's a long time, a long way. And remember, his mode of transportation was probably a donkey. Maybe he had two donkeys at this time. We don't know. Maybe he did a lot of foot walking. But he went 75 miles because God said, do this. God said, get up and go to Egypt. And the interesting place where he has been sent is Egypt, where the children of Israel had been in bondage for hundreds of years. The place of oppression now becomes the place of
a sanctuary of security for the baby Jesus and his mom and dad. Now continuing, we have another dream. Chapter 2, verse 19, thank you. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, where he had gone, and the angel said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." And then, what does it say in verse 21? He got up. He took the child and his mother and went to the land of Egypt. Now, we don't know how long he was there, but no matter what the time frame is, the bottom line is, in the dream, God said to do something, and he woke up, and he did it. Get up, and he got up. He got up, and he took the child and his mother and went to the land. Now, when it says he got up, that implies to me that it happened during the night. He had the dream. He got up, and he took the child. Then, as we continue, we're going to find in verse 22, he had a fourth dream. When he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, he will be called a Nazarene. So God is telling him, that is Joseph, to do something, and the bottom line is he just did it. And I praise God for his faithfulness. And I praise God for your faithfulness too when he tells you to do certain things. Now, he may not tell you to do things in a dream. He certainly has told you to do certain things in the Word of God. He has certainly told you to do certain things through your conscience. But he may also say it in a dream. So from the lips of Jesus, Luke chapter 1, verse 79, the last phrase, guide our feet into the path of peace. This is about the Holy Spirit's guidance, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. So Joseph was told to get up. He was told to go back. He was told in a warning, and these things he did. He took dreams seriously. Now, the last dreamer we have this morning is Matthew chapter 27's account of a guy who had a name of Pilate. Now, this happened during Holy Week, of which we have now begun. And as we get through the days, as we approach Good Friday, it is on this Friday, which has certainly indeed become good, that many years ago a person had a dream. Matthew 27, verse 15. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message. And there's the word "don't." "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man. For I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What should I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and he washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "Let this blood be on us and on our children." Pilate's wife. Her name was Claudia.
And this piece of recorded history is very important
because it collaborates with the writings of Matthew, proving that he was accurate in what he read. And when the scripture says this day, it has to do with, it was the morning, because the day starts at nighttime. At evening at 6 o'clock, that's when the next day started, which is a little confusing to we in the Western world. But she had a dream, and the dream was, tell your husband not to have anything to do with this guy.
So here we have a wife who has a dream that needs to be relayed to her husband, and when she does this, then he has the option of thumbs up or thumbs down. Like Nancy had a dream about me with the brakes years ago that I shared a number of Sundays ago. She had an option to tell me or not to tell me, and then when she told me, I had an option to believe her or disbelieve her. Here, he chose the latter. He would not believe her. He said, what evil has he done? And certainly he has done no evil. 1 Peter 2:22 speaks of that. Probably the guy wanted to release him, but he was overpowered by public opinion. But there's one comment before we go any farther, and that's in verse 25. The people, now these are the Jewish people, and they said, let his blood be on us. Ah, what a horrible thing. Let his blood be on us and our children. And what they said has literally become true with the Jewish people. And especially in the days that followed this time, we have like 500 Jewish people being killed every day. We have crosses being put up on the roads going to all the major towns in the Roman Empire. So what they said literally came true. Don't have anything to do with this just man was the word in the dream, but he chose otherwise. So men, it says to us, men, listen to your wives. To all of your men, let me say again, listen to your wives. Even if you don't want to, even if what they say is maybe not be right in your opinion, but listen to them. Listen, listen, listen to your wives. Listen to your wives. Mark 4:23 says, Mark 4:23, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. And in Ephesians and in Galatians, it talks about the relationship between men, their wives, and husbands. We could include at that point, listen to them. That's the bottom line. So these are the dreams that people have had. Dreams that were used by God to relate important things. Don't be afraid. And that's the one we want to pick up now as we conclude. Just don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Of all the things that are causing us to be afraid today. And I can look at every one of you and I know there are things that are happening. And some are major. Oh, some are just, they've gone out of the sky. Others are just mediocre. Some are so minor, but they still are little things that we can stub our toe on. Jesus is saying, don't be afraid. Let's bow and pray, may we?